This morning I want to talk to us about the Lord led me in the right way. The Lord led me in the right way. And I want to pray first. I want to pray first, and then we'll go into the scriptures and go into the Word. Let's just pray this morning. Lord, we love you today. And Father, we thank you just for your incredible goodness in our life, your incredible faithfulness in our life. God, we're going to be looking in your word at the faithfulness of God in leading our life, God, and just trusting the leading of God in our life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just put an anointing, a heavenly weight upon my words, God, that go right into the heart and speak something of life, produce something of life, Lord. Lord, I truly look to you today. I truly lean upon you today, God. I know this is your word for this time. And Lord, just in your faithfulness, would you come and speak something of life today? Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by going to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at one verse, and that's verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Let's stop there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Does everybody see that word will there? By the will of God. Do you see the word will there? Amen. You can say amen. Amen. That word will in the Greek language means a determined choice, a strong-minded choice. Now, I want you to capture the weightiness of those words. I want you to capture the weightiness of that definition. The word will there means a determined choice, a strong-minded choice. And beloved, if this verse tells us anything, it tells us that God is determined to plant his people in his will. It's something that his heart is set upon. See, beloved, the Lord takes his will for my life very serious. And he takes his will for your life very serious. And if we have a heart for him, if we love him and we just desire to be in his will, God is very determined to plant us in his will and keep us in his will. You know, there's a lot of believers that carry this fear around in their heart that just ask questions like, am I really in his will? Am I doing God's will for my life, or am I missing it? Am I supposed to be doing this? Is this what God has truly designated for me to do at this time? Am I supposed to be doing this? But, beloved, listen. If you want the Lord's will, if there's something in your heart that says, you know what, I want to walk in God's will for my life, listen, you're in it. He plants you in it. He will not let you miss it. So we don't have to be plagued by these fears and these questions. God will plant us and keep us in his will. And what we need to do is we just need to rest in the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to go to two passages of scriptures. I want to go to Matthew chapter 9. And when you have Matthew chapter 9, go ahead and place your marker there. And go with me to Genesis chapter 24. Matthew chapter 9. Place your marker there. And then go with me to Genesis chapter 24. Okay, look with me at Genesis chapter 24. Let's read verses 1 through 7, then we'll look at a couple more verses. Chapter 24, verse 1 says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of the heavens, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. He shall send his angel before thee. Look with me at verse 27. And the servant said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Look with me at verse 48. It says, And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way. And I blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the right way. Beloved, let me just say that. Here in Genesis chapter 24, we have the powerful story of Abraham commissioning his servant to go and receive a bride for his son Isaac. And let me just begin by saying that most of the times when I hear this passage of scripture preached on, the servant is always a representative of the Holy Spirit. He always represents the Holy Spirit, and I know that's true. But this morning, I want to keep the emphasis upon him as a man. Listen, he is a person like me and you. And because he is a person, therefore he is subject to fears. He's subject to doubt. He's subject to struggles. He's subject to even making mistakes. So when you look at it like that, it puts the emphasis right back on God and God's incredible faithfulness to lead a man. The emphasis is upon God and his faithfulness to lead a man. Now, as we already noted, this servant in our story is sent to retrieve a bride for his master's son, Isaac. And I believe you know where I'm going with this. The church is here in the world for one purpose, and that's to be filled with the Spirit and to call out to retrieve a bride for Jesus Christ. The church is here for a purpose, and that is to be filled with the Spirit and to have an anointed witness and to have an anointed gospel that draws people out of darkness and ushers them into the kingdom of Christ and ultimately into this bridehood. But beloved, this is what I want us to understand this morning. Becoming this bride begins with salvation. People are in the throes of sin. People are in the throes of eternal destruction, and they need to be rescued. They need to be saved. And God is very passionate about saving them. He's very passionate about rescuing them. He's very passionate about seeking them out and bringing them into this bridehood of Jesus Christ. He's very passionate about it. You know, in the book of Peter, Peter talks about the last days, and he talks about how in the last days we are racing toward judgment. We are racing toward the day. We are very quickly racing toward the day where God's going to destroy this earth with fire. But right in the very middle of that, he gives this verse. He says, But God is not long-suffering that any should perish, but he is long-suffering toward us all that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason why this world is still here is because in his mercy, God is long-suffering to save souls. Where is God's heart at right now? Where is his passion? Where is his intent before our world burns with fire? His intent is simply this: I am passionate about saving souls. You know, listen, God is in our world today, and he is in a war for souls. You know, I remember not long ago, the Lord came to my heart in a very strong way, and he asked me a question. And the question he asked me is this: Tim, when you look at your world, what do you see? When you look at the earth that you live in, what do you see? And beloved, I learned when God asks me a question, it's usually because I don't know. So I told him, Lord, I don't know. And the Lord spoke very strongly to my heart, and he said, Tim, the world is nothing more than a war zone. The world you live in is nothing more than a battleground where there is a battle every day taking place for the souls of men. Amen. Now, with this thought in mind, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 9. You can actually put your marker again in Genesis 24 and go with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now look with me at verse 37 again. Then said Jesus to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I really want to emphasize his words, but the laborers are few. Beloved, because the laborers are so few, God is not going to waste one opportunity to use a life who desires to surrender their life. God's not going to waste one opportunity to use a life who desires to surrender their agendas, who desires to surrender their dreams, who desires to surrender their personal pursuits to be used by the Lord. Listen, because the laborers are so few, when God sees a heart like that, when God sees a heart that says, God, I just want to be in your will. I just want to be used by you. Listen, God's not going to waste that opportunity. His hand is going to come upon that life, and he's going to begin to divinely lead that life. And listen, when his hand comes upon that life, not for one moment will he take his hand off. And not for one moment will he cease to divinely lead that life. He is in the life leading business when it comes to his kingdom. Amen. Now, I want you to go with me back to Genesis chapter 24. Because I want to talk to you about this servant for a moment. Here's what I want us to understand about this servant. On this journey in the divine leading of God, in this journey of walking in God's will and purpose for his life, while on this journey, there are lessons he had to learn along the way. That there are some areas that he needed to be trained in along the way. Trained in along the way. Listen, as I was really praying about this message, that was just something the Lord put in my heart. He said, Tim, if you'll look at this servant's journey, you're going to see some things he had to learn as he was on his way, following my leading in his life. And there are just three things I want to look at, three lessons that he had to learn while he was on his way, walking in the divine will of God. First of all, Genesis chapter 24, look with me at verse 5 again. Verse 5 says, and the servant said unto Abraham, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now look with me at verse 5. He said, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I? Stop. Must I? That's what I'm emphasizing. Must I? If she doesn't want to come, must I step into the picture? Now here's what I'm saying. Beloved, this servant had to learn to take himself out of the picture and keep himself out of the picture. He had to learn that even when it's not going according to plan or going according to how he thinks it should go, he had to learn not to step back into the picture and try to put his hands in it all, but simply trust that God is working out his will in his time and in his way. He had to learn to just trust the Lord and stay out of the picture. He had to learn that. Must I? No, you mustn't. You see, beloved, this isn't always an easy lesson to learn, and you don't learn it overnight. Also, you don't get it right all the time. You learn it by experience. You know, I can remember a season in my life where I was struggling to keep such control over a situation that I was in. I was so afraid just to release it and give it to the Lord. And because I was so afraid just to release it and give it to the Lord, I kept my arms around it. I kept a tight hold on it. I tried to keep control of what was going on, but I was only making things worse. And in the faithfulness of the Lord came and He spoke to me in a dream. And in this dream, I found myself flying a very large airplane. And so I looked over to the side out the window and I saw B-17 bombers flying next to me. And immediately in my mind, I thought to myself, oh, I'm flying a B-17 bomber. I'm in World War II and I'm on a bombing mission. And for a moment, I thought, how cool is this? But suddenly my airplane got hit by a shell and it quickly started plunging toward the ground. And in the dream, I was so fearful and I was so frantic and I had hold of the controls. I had hold of the controller and I was fighting to pull the plane up, fighting with the controls to pull the plane up. But it just wasn't pulling up. And suddenly I heard God say, Tim, let go of the controls. But in my fearfulness of heart, I said, God, I can't let go of the controls. I got to get this plane to pull up. So as I'm wrestling with the controls, God spoke to my heart again and He said, Tim, let go of the controls. I said, Lord, can't you see I have barely little time? I've got to get this plane pulled up. So the Lord spoke to me a third time and He said, Tim, let go of the controls. Well, by then the ground is right there. There's no hope. So I finally say, okay, I'm letting go of the controls, and I let go of the controls. And it was as if an imaginary hand reached into the cockpit, got a hold of the controller and started pulling back on the controls because the plane immediately began to ascend. And when I woke from the dream, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Tim, you have to learn how to let go of control and just trust me. When it's out of your control, you just have to take your hands off and just trust that I'm in control. It's not always easy taking yourself out of the picture and just trusting God when everything's not going according to plan. But if we're going to walk in God's will for our life, that is something we must learn as we are on the journey. And God is a very good teacher. Amen. Just let go and trust He has the control. Amen. That was a lesson he had to learn along his way. Look with me at verse 10. It says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. For all the goods of his master was in his hand. So the servant had all the resources he needed to fulfill the call of God on his life. And beloved, God has given us resources. He's given us faith. He's given us prayer. He's given us the word. He's given us His grace. But here's what's on my heart to say. On our journey in the will of God, we have to learn how to use these resources. When it comes to the warfare, when it comes to the battle, picking up our resources and using them just doesn't come naturally. God's got to teach us. He's got to train us. You know, I know I use this a lot, but it's something that means a lot to me because it's something that over time God has really had to work into my life. And God was very patient. I know it was a very painstaking work for the Lord. That's why it really means a lot to me. You see, the Bible says that God gives us a table in our wilderness. And the Lord has taught me something. Whenever you find yourself in a wilderness of trial, a wilderness of hardship, a wilderness of difficulty, so often the prayer in our heart shouldn't be, Lord, take me out of the wilderness. The prayer that's in our heart should be, Lord, teach me to find your table in this wilderness. God, don't take me out of the wilderness. In this wilderness, there is a table. Your grace is on this table. Your strength is on this table. Your wisdom is on this table. Lord, in my wilderness times, teach me how to go to your word and draw the resources I need, because your word has life. When I need strength, teach me how to go to your word and draw the strength that I need. When I need grace, teach me how to go to your word and draw the grace that I need. Beloved, on this journey in the will of God, the Lord has to teach us how to apply our resources, because it doesn't come naturally. Amen. This is something the servant had to learn. Beloved, we have to be trained how to use our resources. We have to be trained to stand in believing prayer. We have to be trained to stand upon the word. We have to be trained to stand in the power of grace. And for a moment, can I talk about grace? We have to be trained how to stand in the power of grace. You know, there's a lot of good definitions out there for the word grace, but for this message, here's the one I want to use. Grace is the strength of God to persevere. Grace is the strength of God to push through. Grace is the strength of God to press in. Beloved, there are just times in the will of God where we just have to press through things. What God is doing in my life is so important. It's so important that there are just times I have to press through some things. You understand that? Amen. Now, can I just give you an example? You guys that sit in my class, you know when I say that, you know to brace yourself. Let me just give you an example of sometimes when we just need to lay hold of grace and press through. Listen. Every time I have a headache doesn't mean I stay home. Listen, every time I have a headache doesn't mean I stay home. Sometimes I just need to push through it. Listen, if it's a migraine, stay home and rest. But sometimes if it's just a headache, sometimes you just got to push through it. Because what God wants to do in your life, what he has set before us that day, is so important, and you just need to know how to push through it. Amen. Listen, whenever I get a headache, the Lord always reminds me of a story in the Bible. Are y'all with me this morning? There's a story in the Bible where Paul was in a town called Lystra preaching, and they stoned him. They drugged him outside and they stoned him. But the Bible says after they got through stoning him and they turned around and they walked away, Paul got up, he brushed himself off, and he walked 50 miles to a town called Derbe to preach the gospel. You want to talk about a man that laid hold of the grace of God because he knew God's plan was important. Now hear me, I'm not telling us we need to go to that kind of extreme. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you there are times we have to learn how to lay hold of grace and press through some things, because God's grace is sufficient and his plan is important for our lives. Amen. We have resources. And on this journey in his will, the Lord has to teach us how to apply them. Amen. Let's look at number three. Look at verse 11. It says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the even time that women go out to draw water. And he said, oh Lord, oh Lord. How many of you ever said that? Oh Lord. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Just stop there. Beloved, do you know what this servant is doing here? Here's what he's doing. In this scripture, he is really looking to the Lord. He is really leaning upon the Lord. Beloved, he had to learn to look to the Lord. And beloved, I know this for a fact. We will never truly learn to look to the Lord without problems, without hardships, without adversity. Problems and adversity are God's training ground in teaching his people to look to him. The scriptures say, in the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. But the question is, if there was no day of trouble, would he have sought the Lord? It's his training ground. You know, as uncomfortable as it is, adversity is an important part of our life, and it's an important part of our walk. You know, I heard a beloved pastor say one time, when people come to me and say, I just can't see God working in my life, the first thing I say is, oh, then you must not have any problems in your life. Right now, your life is absolutely 100% problem-free. They usually answer, of course I have problems. And I reply, then God is working greatly in your life because adversity is one of his greatest tools to work his character, humility, and strength into our lives. Beloved, walking in God's perfect will for our life and using resources has everything to do with learning how to look to God when we need him. Amen. And God's going to train us and teach us that. Now, let's look at another thought. Look with me at chapter 24, verse 48. Verse 48 says, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way. Which had led me in the right way. Beloved, notice the scriptures does not say, the Lord led me in the easy way. The Lord led me in the logical way. The Lord led me in the way that makes sense to me. No, the scriptures say, God leads us in the right way. Amen. Now that word right in the Hebrew language has a very powerful definition. If you would look it up in the Strong's Concordance, you would see it actually means faithful, trustworthy. Isn't that powerful? The word right here actually means faithful, trustworthy. Beloved, without doing any injustice to the scripture, it can be read this way. The Lord led me according to his faithfulness. That's what it literally means. Beloved, God's leading in our life is faithful. We have to learn that wherever he leads us, wherever he takes us, it is in his faithfulness. God is not going to lead us into wrong places. It is the right place because it is his will for our life according to his purpose for our life. And our part is simply to trust that his paths for our life are faithful and true. Our part is just to trust his leading in our life. It's not going to be easy paths or logical paths or paths that make sense to me all the time. But 100% every time they will be faithful paths. Faithful. Our part is just to trust. Now, beloved, please hear me because this is important, and I know the Lord put this in my heart. Listen, if this truth does not sink into our hearts, one of the things that happens is we become critical. We become critical. Listen, when God plants us somewhere, If we truly do not see it as His faithful leading in our lives, then we begin to criticize people. We begin to criticize places. We begin to criticize organizations. And God says, that is not my heart. This is the faithful leading of the Lord in your life. And no, everything is not perfect. Everyone is not perfect. But how would you grow if everything was perfect? I only have one leading in your life, and that's the pathway of faithfulness. And when I plant you somewhere and call you to do something, if you don't see it as my faithfulness, one of the things that's going to begin to happen is you're going to become critical. Amen. 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 I want to end with a couple of questions this morning. The first question is, Pastor Tim, does everything you shared this morning mean we'll never step out of God's will? That there are times we think something is God's will and we move into it, but then we find out it's not. Are you saying that'll never happen? Listen, we're only human, right? And there may be times we miss the Lord. But here's the incredible faithfulness of the Lord. You see it so clearly in the life of Abraham. Listen, there was a couple of times when Abraham, in his fear, messed up and stepped out of the will of God. But God saw his heart. God saw that more than anything in his life, he wanted the will of God. He wanted the covenant promises of God. He wanted everything God had for him. And when God saw that in his heart, God was careful to protect his will in this man's life. When Abraham was powerless to put himself back on track, God divinely intervened and put himself back on track. And beloved, here's my thought. You don't have to live in fear of this. If you truly want his will, God will keep you in it and he will protect it. Amen. Secondly, is the Lord's will always easy to accept? No. Even Jesus said, if it be your will, let this cup pass. Jesus knew what it was like to walk in a season and struggle with it in his heart. He knew what it was like to walk for a season saying, God, I don't want to do this, but if it's your will, I'll do it. No, it's not always easy to accept. But I do want to give you a scripture. Can you go with me to Philippians chapter 2? Look with me at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Does everybody see that word will there? Do you see it? Talk to me. Do you see it? Amen. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, to do of his good pleasure. Beloved, my point is simply this. Sometimes the Lord has to work a willingness in our hearts, doesn't he? Sometimes he has to work a willingness in our hearts. But beloved, even though there may be seasons of struggle, and one more time, we have to look to God's grace. Ultimately, there will come a rest in the heart. Ultimately, there will be a contentment. Ultimately, there will be a sense of my life is counting for something. Ultimately. Amen. But here's the key. Here's the secret. The key is wanting God's will in our life. That's the key. Beloved, the key is knowing life is so short, it's here and it's gone, and my few days on this earth, I want God's will for my life. I want Him to choose how He wants to use my life. And I want to walk in His choosing. And I want Him to lead me upon His faithful paths for my life. That's what I want. Beloved, listen, when there's a yielding in the heart, because ultimately I want the will of God, I'm telling you, grace goes to work. And there will come a rest in the soul. And there will come a contentment in the heart. Yeah, there may be seasons where the battles come again and I have to one more time look to His grace and lean upon His grace. But I'm telling you, there will be a time when there will be a rest and a contentment that comes into the heart because I want the will of God. Amen. Now I want to end with this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read just the first part of verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Right? "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses." In other words, beloved, we are surrounded by a spiritual cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by a spiritual cloud of people that have gone before us, and therefore they have a testimony to speak to us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So let's just ask this question. Well, then who are some of these people? Well, look with me at chapter 11. We're going to meet some of them. Look with me at chapter 11, verse 17. It said, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son." So, beloved, here we have Abraham. And here's the question I want to ask you about Abraham. Was Abraham's journey with God easy? On his journey with God, was there times where he probably, "I just don't understand why we're going this way. I just don't understand why you're doing it this way." Do you think he sometimes had those kind of questions? Yes, right? Okay, look with me at verse 21. It says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." So here we have Jacob, and I want to ask the same question. Looking at Jacob's life, was his life always easy? Were there times he just had to learn some things the hard way? Were there times God did things in ways that he just did not understand, and if he could have just chose, he would have went a different path? Is there times he had those times? Yes. Look with me at verse 22. It says, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Let me ask a question. Joseph's time in Egypt, were they easy times? Were they always easy times? No. Let's look at one more. Look with me at verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." So here we have Moses, and the question I want to ask again, was Moses' entire journey with the Lord easy? Was his 40 years in the Midian wilderness always easy? No. Beloved, looking at these people, we see God didn't always lead them into easy places. But yet, at the same time, these were a people who saw the absolute faithfulness of God in their life. These were a people who were so broken and humbled by God's incredible goodness in their life. They were men and women in this chapter that was absolutely broken by the goodness of God in their life. And they walked humbly before the Lord because of His faithfulness and His goodness. So ultimately, this is what I'm saying. Do you know what their witness is to each one of us? Do you know what their testimony is to each one of us? Here's part of it. Trust God's leading in your life. He only has one path. And that's the path of faithfulness and truth. Trust his leading in your life. He is determined to plant you in his will. He is determined to keep you in his will. Nothing can pull you out when your heart is set in it. And beloved, every moment of the way, he only has one path, and that's the path of his faithfulness. Amen. But as we're walking that path, we are learning lessons along the way. Amen. We're learning how to take ourselves out of the picture when it's not going according to how I think it should go. And we are learning how to use our resources and find his table in the wilderness. And we are learning, whatever the third one was, we are learning. Stand with me this morning. I lost it in all my notes. We are learning.